Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as you'll hear, as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Welcome, dear listeners, to Christ in All Things. My name is Pastor Jason Shockman.
And I am Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
And we have a special guest in studio with us this morning, or this day. What is it? The sixth day of the month of November in the 2025th year of our Lord. Maria Helmi Matilda Gable. Did I say it right? Did I get it in the right order?
You missed one.
You did.
I did? No, I didn't.
Yeah, say the whole thing
you
for us.
You say it for us.
Maria Helmi Matilda Peterson.
Peterson Gable. Because you were a Peterson before you were a Gable.
Yes.
Yeah. So
what's the story with this name?
You have five names now. How does this work?
We just keep adding names because then I couldn't say Maria when I was learning to talk, and I said Mimi.
Okay.
And I've been Mimi.
Ever since.
Oh, no kidding. So you couldn't say your own name. You called yourself Mimi.
Right.
And the family just went with it.
Apparently, because I've been Mimi for a lot of years.
So where did Maria come from?
Both of my grandmothers in Germany. Were both Marias. Both my grandfathers were Johannes's, so they were John in...
John and Mary.
No kidding. So what is Mary? All right, you do the root thing.
Yeah. Do you know what Maria means?
Other than my grandmother, no.
Okay. So for you, it's a family connection.
Yes.
Right. So the name Maria has many different nationalities that could be its root, right? Where that name began to be used as a name. So if it's Egyptian, it means beloved. If it's Hebrew, it could either mean bitter or bitterness, or as a diminutive of Miriam, it could mean a drop of the sea, like a star shining in the sea. If it's Greek, it means rebellious. If it's Latin, from Myra, it comes down to meaning wonderful. And last but not least, the Germanic meaning is resolute. Which one fits? You're snickering at me.
Resolute.
Yeah. There we go.
No.
What's the second name?
Helmi.
Mm-hmm. This one threw me for a loop.
Is that a first name or is that a family name? How do you spell it?
H-E-L-M-I. It was my mother's younger sister, and she was my godmother.
Wonderful.
She only was in America a few years. She went back because her male friend had promised to marry her and make life wonderful, which didn't work out very well.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
She became a housewife and very, she had to do all the farm work, and it was a sad story after all that. should have told you so, you know, but it was too late then. She never came back to America. But there were so many coming over at that time. I mean, my mother was...
That would have been about what year?
26, 27.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
19.
Yeah, yeah. After, so still in the fallout, as it were, of World War One, as Europe is recovering from the devastation of the Great War.
My mother was from a family of 11, and five of the girls eventually came to America. None of the boys did because they were all killed in the war.
Hmm. Oh, all your, that would have been
except
your...
Except the last one.
All of, that would have been all your uncles?
My uncles,
were all killed in World War One.
Except the last one.
Except the
who was younger than I was.
Yeah, wow.
Mm-hmm. Younger, so younger than you were?
Yes.
By how many years?
Well, he would be... goodness, by how many years? I can't really remember.
That's okay.
But a little younger than you.
Yeah. Yes.
What does Helmi mean? Do you know?
No.
What's the story? So, but you got it because this was your godmother's name.
Right.
Okay, yeah. And your mom's younger sister.
My mother's sister.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Its roots come from Estonia.
Okay.
Or
not too terribly far as the crow flies from where her family
right.
was.
Or from Finland.
Okay.
It means pearl or bead.
Okay. A resolute pearl.
Resolute pearl.
Okay.
It's going to keep getting better.
Thus far. Okay. Yeah. All right. So Maria, Helmi, what's next?
Matilda.
Okay.
I guess they figured if they would give one of my mother's siblings' names, they'd have to do the same for my father. So that's my father's sister was Matilda.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Do you know?
No.
Oh, I got you covered.
You got me covered.
I do.
Good.
I do. It's Germanic in roots, so it's German background here.
Good, we're in the right country.
Yeah, we're in the right spot. And it means one of two things. It either means mighty in battle or strong warrior.
I never met her, so I wouldn't be able to make an opinion.
Well,
I guess.
Can't make an opinion on your Aunt Matilda, but we can say which one applies to you.
Yeah. It goes pretty well with
it goes pretty
resolute
well with
and
the,
pearl
yeah. with a resolute pearl that is mighty, and then I didn't know Peterson was the maiden name, so I might have to look that one up.
Peterson, do you know what it means?
No, but there were oodles of them.
Yeah,
over there.
I would imagine. Because how would you say that in your German?
Peterson.
Not Peterson, but Peterson.
No, because it was with a T, Peterson.
Oh,
not,
of course, yeah.
Not,
yeah, yeah, okay.
Not Peterson.
Okay.
Yeah, but it was John Johnson, Pete Peterson, Ole Olofsson, you know, that it just went on.
It literally means son of Peter.
Okay.
So somewhere along the way, back when... Dad was named Peter.
I mean, that was the obvious, but
that's literally what okay. That's what there's that's not, there literally what it comes.
It's
up
not
with.
Something else to it. Okay.
Well, I mean, you can go Greek on Peter and say that it means
rock, son of the
rock, right?
Yeah.
And it's a really common Peterson and Peterson is a really common Scandinavian German and German Netherlands. It's really a common thing.
And then you married.
Then you married a Gable.
A two-syllable guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was easier that way. I didn't have to spell so much.
Right. What does Gable mean? Did you look that up?
I did.
What's Gable?
Okay, so it either comes from the English, which is speaking of the architectural feature of a building, right? The Gable.
But that would be G-A.
That comes out off the roof. Right. The German, which were German.
Yeah.
Folks, if you could see the way that Mimi's looking at me when I said that. Oh, we're only German.
Yeah.
Okay. It means, in German, it means bright. And it could be that it's actually shortened from, the Germans shortened it from Gabriel or Gabriel, which means God is my strength.
Mm. I'll buy that.
I'll buy that, she says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll take it to the bank. Mm-hmm. Right? So a resolute pearl, mighty in battle, who knows if strength is in God. I'll take that.
Yep.
I'll take that. So the first name came from your mother, and the middle names, both of them came from your aunts, and your last name came from your father and then from your husband.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. it is fascinating how names can tell a story.
Isn't it great?
Yes.
All right. So are you ready? You ready to get into the big questions?
Yes. I found it hard to put my finger on certain things that made me who I am.
Let me then ask the question. So for those of you who are listening, and this might be the first time you've listened to Christ in All Things, we do basically two kind, you know, when we interview somebody, Mimi, like you, we love to get the story of the name, and then what are the top 3 to 5 things that formed you as a human being, that formed you into the person that you are. So, you know, pick that up where you're saying you kind of, what's tops on your list?
Well, I was the first child, first grandchild from my family that was born here. But I was the first child in our family. And I think the first child always seems to have a little more responsibility.
So you're the firstborn in your family?
Yes.
Out of how,
and the only girl.
Oh, and out of how many?
Well, we were 4. I lost an infant, quite infant brother. But I have two younger brothers. In May of this year, I lost the youngest one of those.
So your parents were both born in Germany.
Yes.
They emigrated to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Not together.
They met here.
They met in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. So mm-hmm. Do you know what brought your respective parents over?
Well, my mother, for instance, came because they just felt it would be a better life for them.
Sure.
And they were from a large family and, you know, it was hard just to feed all the mouths. So my mother's sister came first, and we had an uncle in Milwaukee that had a business, a tavern business, but it was a business, and they sponsored you.
Yeah.
You had to have a job here to come over. So one aunt came, and she ended up on the east side of Milwaukee working for a well-to-do family. Then my mother came, and my godmother came, and then another sister came, and then a few years later, the last one came, who was about the same age as me. They just all got a job as domestic help on the east side, and then even went all the way down to me. I worked on the east side domestic help for a few years too, and later on became the secretary of the man that I worked for, which was what I always wanted to be, was a secretary.
Yeah.
So I never had the...
I'm eager to get to that story at some point. So you said the number one was being the firstborn,
mm-hmm.
And the first generation
not only firstborn in your family, but mm-hmm. first generation U.S. immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that number one for you? Why is that? Why does that kind of the top of the list of importance?
It always sort of goes back to where'd you come from?
Yeah.
And I had parents that were very, very German. I mean, lots of rules. And just you always had to work. I mean, that was part of life. You didn't ever get anything just handed to you, which I still admire among people, if you can work for something.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of stuck. And like I said, I really had no desire to go to college, but I did want to work in an office. I love to have things orderly and just...
That explains the comment about my desk.
Yes.
Oh, did you see Pastor Shockman's desk and recoil a little bit?
Well, no, because I have one son, the one that
David.
Is a pastor.
Oh, yeah.
Who has a desk, or
like
used
that.
To have a desk like that.
Yeah.
And the other two just, they had to live with him, but we had this built-in desk in their bedrooms, and they put markings on the desk. This is the neat one. This is the partially.
Do you have
neat
a picture
one?
Of that desk?
Not anymore.
That's a pity because the messy one. What's your pastor's son's name again? I forgot.
Robert.
Yeah. So you have the Robert messy section, and
yes.
the David neat section.
Mm-hmm. No, Paul is
Paul's the neat section.
Real neat section.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes.
All right.
He's neat, Nick. He was in the middle. Don't you touch my desk.
Yeah, stay out of my space.
It's helpful. That
he got that genuinely from his mother?
I think a little of it rubbed off.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helpful that the super neat Nick is in the middle, because then the messy guy doesn't inadvertently spill over into the semi-messy guy.
Right.
But it's really hard for the guy, the neatnik in the middle, because he's got mess on both sides
mm-hmm.
from his perspective. Yeah. See, I'm just a piler, not a filer. So I just make piles of stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I know where things are.
You know where, so does my son.
Yeah.
Yes. He knows where things are, and he has a terrific memory.
I love these immigrant stories.
They're great,
I don't know how often to get a chance to talk to a first generation immigrant, because it's interesting. Like, that's tops on your list. I'm the firstborn of German immigrants, and the first, you know, natural born.
Mm-hmm.
First natural born American
of my family.
Yeah.
And so you have a very keen sense of what that meant to be here because of your parents and the importance of hard work you talked about. I'm kind of gathering,
because
mm-hmm. You said there were rules and there were clearly expectations.
Yes.
So where in those expectations was life in the church?
Actually, well, right across the street.
Okay.
That's how far I had to go to get baptized. And I will say my parents were not that much into church until, I think, by the time I started having a brother, and we were becoming more of a family.
Yeah.
And I don't remember too much of that until we moved to northern Wisconsin. And there we became very active in the church. And my father, in fact, helped build the new church.
Wow. So what town in northern Wisconsin are we
Cable.
Talking about? Cable. Huh.
Never heard of it, right?
I have.
You have?
I have.
I haven't. Where is that?
North of Hayward, yeah. South of Ashland.
So way north. West-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If the church that your dad helped build is still the one standing there, I even know what church we're talking about.
Trinity.
Yeah.
I was in the first confirmation class.
Really?
Out of that church. There was a congregation in town before, yeah. But I think they met in the library, if I remember correctly. And then...
How do you spell the town?
Cable, C-A-B-L-E, Highway 63.
Yeah, Trinity and Cable. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you go to the next town north, it's Drummond, and that's where I went to school.
Why did your dad go to northern Wisconsin? Work, I assume, or?
Well, it was work. It was, I'll try to make it a brief story. My aunt and uncle were caretakers for the president of the bank in Milwaukee, bank in Milwaukee. And they came to Milwaukee on a little vacation, and my uncle took off. I don't know how else to say it. He just left, and they never did find him. But my aunt had two children, my cousins, and she could not be a caretaker of a summer home up north. And at that point, my father and mother were in Indiana. My father was running a chicken farm because my father had had some agricultural schooling in Germany.
Okay.
So the job had come up. They borrowed money, got a car, and drove to near Indianapolis. And one day they got a call from the aunt from northern Wisconsin and said, I have just told my boss, the man that owned the place, that you might be interested in being the caretaker, since her husband had disappeared.
And this is about what year?
29, 30.
And you were born what year?
28.
Oh, so you're a toddler.
I'm a little one.
Yeah.
Well, it may have been a little older because I started first grade in Indiana.
Oh, okay. So you would have been five.
Five. Okay. Yes. So anyway, my father said, sounds like a good deal to me. And they...
And away we go.
Yes. Borrowed money, bought a Model T, and we drove. And this part I do remember, from Indiana with a stop in Milwaukee to see relatives and then head to northern Wisconsin.
That's not a short drive today.
And it was even longer than.
Yeah.
I remember going from Milwaukee to Medford. That was one day.
Wow.
And then from Medford, you headed into the woods. And when you got to Clam Lake, you had to find the electrical line and follow that on the fire lane to get to the road that led to the lake where we were going to live.
I'm kind of gathering, and you don't, by the way, right, because this is, you don't have to talk about this, you don't have to answer this question. I'm kind of gathering that there's a connection between being the firstborn and you have some struggle, for lack of a better word, with how itinerant your family was.
At that time, it was an adventure, but when I look back at it, I think, oh my goodness, isn't my father going to settle down and get a decent job? Which he did then. And we were up there. I had to do first grade over again because they didn't believe I had done first grade in Indiana. I learned cursive writing in first grade in Indiana, and they wouldn't let me cursive write in northern Wisconsin because they hadn't taught me yet how to do it. And
because so it's not possible to have somebody come from Indiana that knows cursive? Or?
Apparently.
I mean, it is Indiana.
It what is.
What in the world? Okay. Oh, anyway, getting a
That was so weird. Here I knew, and I had a very nice handwriting, and they wouldn't let me do it because I had to learn to print because all the other children were printing. Okay, so I learned to print. Then in second grade, they taught them cursive, and I was one jump ahead of everybody else because I knew cursive.
And you can't see her, listeners, but she's got a sense of
resoluteness
about that. Resolute.
Okay.
So,
then we were there all through grade school.
And your dad was the caretaker?
And my dad was the caretaker.
And that was a good, solid job for him.
It was.
Okay.
Until 1941. Well, the last year he had changed jobs because he just was not making enough money to raise a family. And so he had taken another job nearby as a herdsman for this lady that had these beautiful brown Swiss cows and had this farm at. And we spent a year, maybe a year and a half there. And then he said, we've got to go back to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. I need a better job. And now we're up to 1941. And after Pearl Harbor, there were all sorts of wonderful jobs in Milwaukee. So we moved back to Milwaukee, and he worked at Ellis Chalmers.
Okay, tractors and, well, no, heavy machine equipment.
It
stuff,
was yeah. the big flywheel that runs the propellers on battleships that they made at that time. Yeah.
Yeah, in the 40s,
yeah,
they quit 40, making tractors for
that's
a while.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Like
so
else.
That would have been about 42. I was confirmed in 41 and graduated from 8th grade.
In cable.
No, in Drummond, I graduated from school. And then I had to go to cable to go to high school. But I just barely started September, and I think deer hunting season, we moved back to Milwaukee. We couldn't move before that because my parents took in deer hunters for...
You're right, and there was some money to be made there.
To earn money during season, and they came up from Milwaukee.
So that might have been the one move that mom and dad didn't have to borrow money to move.
Right.
Yeah, because they held on to the deer hunters' money and used that to relocate.
So all of that is from one question.
Yeah. And we've only gotten to one answer of one question.
So yeah, cuz number one was I'm the firstborn
and the firstborn in America.
And the firstborn immigrant. I'm curious. So what's number two?
Wait.
Oh, are we waiting for next time?
We're going to take a short break, folks, and we're going to come back. Thank you, Mimi, for being here with us on Christ and All Things, and dear listener, you're going to want to come back and hear more.
For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift,
but it's not free to produce and distribute.
So if you'd like to help make the show self-supporting and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a righteous,
environmentally friendly Christ in all things straw.
For the useful, but perhaps pretentious, beverage container that so many of us like to use.
A donation of $200 or more will get you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of excellent Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And an elegant Christ in all things leather folio, handmade by the artisans of the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, fly us wherever you want and we'll record Christ in all things with you at your chosen location, within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in all things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or call us at 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.